The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints from the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Open the word of truth to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where we are currently looking at the social life of the Corinthians. And we have expanded that understanding of the social life of the Corinthians to understanding who these Corinthians are and, in fact, who we are. In thinking during the break, I think I realized that maybe I haven't given you the full picture of you. Now, we had you, and we had some input from childhood on. Remember, we had the parents, and then we had, divine establishment and morality that came in at some point. We had associations, and we had, of course, the possibility, and all of us had a little of it, some abuses. And so here's all the input, or at least some general categories of input, into our soul. And that's what I left out. You have a soul as well as a body. Of course, you have the sin nature. That's part of the cell structure. But you have a soul, and all of this input comes into this blank slate of a soul. And what I want you to make sure you understand is that all of this is not inevitable. All of this does not have, with the sin nature, does not have an inevitable effect on you, because you have volition. And no matter what this input is, you make decisions based on the input and the sin nature, and, as we shall see, another factor as well. But the rest of your soul is here, you see. You have a self-consciousness that's here. And as this input comes in, it defines how you think about yourself and the experiences that you have. And so your self-consciousness takes on the look of you. And you have a conscience. And believe me, all of this stuff goes to form your conscience, good and bad. And then, of course, you have mentality. And the thinking that you have is also formed by these formative years and the formative experiences and input that you have. So there's the soul aspect. But don't ever forget the volitional aspect. You are not merely a creature of environment or experience or learning. As I said before, in the realm of human viewpoint, you already have the input. In the realm of human viewpoint, with the sin nature and with all the input, what comes out is human viewpoint. Human viewpoint. This is your outlook on life. And in order to get this human viewpoint, you make decisions. The sin nature has a temptation aspect. It is the temptation to sin. And all that comes out of it, and all the input that goes in, garbage out, all the things that were deferential for you also is involved, and the volition is involved, and this makes up you. I look like I'm confusing some of you. Try to put together what I said before with the fact that you have a soul. Soul as the image of God, the sin nature is the cell structure of your body, and then there's all the other input from the outside that makes up you. What comes in with the sin nature in the soul then goes out. And this is your thinking, and this is your behavior in this life. That's what happens to the unbeliever. That's what makes up the unbeliever, if you can tell what that is. How about you? What makes up you? Well, same thing. Sin nature, soul, and all the input. But you have one advantage that no one else, unless they're a believer in Jesus Christ, has. you have another factor. And that factor is Bible doctrine. And, of course, the filling of the Holy Spirit that empowers that doctrine to be metabolized. That is your advantage, no matter what goes on here. That's the advantage of the believer in Jesus Christ. So what happens when you add the input of doctrine to all the rest of you? What happens there? Well, first, let's be clear about one thing. Let's be clear about what it does not do. Let's take the negative side first. It does not remove all the human formative input any more than you ever lose the sin nature. Look, and I want you to understand this because a lot of people have a misconception. All of this, doctrine doesn't remove it. You see, they come in from different directions, and this is already here. Doctrine doesn't wipe that out. It can't. It's part of your human experience. It's part of what formed you. It's that which you now work off based on your soul and your sin nature. It's the way you've made decisions. It's how you act. Doctrine is an addition, not a subtraction from the rest. You can't do away with your sin nature. And you cannot purge your soul from all of this formative input. You clear on that? It doesn't matter whether you are conscious of those influences or not. Some of you think, well, this is gone because I don't ever think about it anymore. Wrong. It's still there. Doctrine doesn't erase the existence and the influences of your human development. You're going to have the same urges, the same tendencies, even the same destructive propensities as a believer in Jesus Christ. It's there. Whatever your weaknesses are, they are still there right along with the sin nature. Because you see, they're your tendencies, and that's part of your sin nature. And again, some of you have the misapprehension that doctrine will take you back to some pristine state that you have never been before. That it frees you from all the old outside influences, such that the end result is that the person you might have been before all the formative garbage and bad decisions, I'll go back before that and be a new, pristine person. And some of you are trying to throw out all of that stuff, and you're wasting your time. It's not what you need to do. You are still vulnerable to all those influences. They don't leave. They don't disappear. You cannot divest yourself of the input, experiences, and thinking that formed you from the very beginning. It's there. I know some of you are looking like, oh my goodness, not that. I thought I was going to escape that. Well, you are. But maybe not in the way you think. They can be defeated by the grace of God such that they no longer control you, your thinking, or your actions. And you see, there's always hope. No matter how bad the input is, no matter how bad the decisions are that you have made, as long as you've got the flow of Bible doctrine coming into your soul and your body, as long as you've got that flow, which requires the filling of the Holy Spirit, you've got hope. In fact, you've got more than hope. You should have confidence as long as it's coming in. Confidence can't reverse your bad decisions, but they're in the past. They can be defeated by the grace of God. So exactly then, what does the input, the inculcation of doctrine accomplish for you? when this is flowing in to your stream of consciousness, to your soul, what does it accomplish for you? Point one. Doctrine gives you the divine alternative to human input. It is the divine alternative. You've got the human input. Can't get away from it. If you were born and have lived and formed, you have human input. Doctrine is the alternative, the divine alternative. Secondly, doctrine gives the different perspective apart from the sin nature, apart from the human input, apart from the corruption of many years of human viewpoint. It offsets. Third, this is generally true. Doctrine sheds light on the darkness in your soul. We've all got it. Suddenly, it lights you up and says who you are. It reveals you, and that's scary for some people. I don't want to be revealed. I don't want to know who I am. Leave me alone. And so they don't want doctrine. Fourth, doctrine reveals who you are in the plan of God. Reveals who you are in the plan of God. And that's very important because that's also the real you as a believer in Jesus Christ. Who you are in the plan of God. Fifth, doctrine gives you the options and the means, along with the filling of the Holy Spirit, to overcome all human viewpoint. And to resist the trends of your sin nature. And remember, where do the trends come from? Combination of the input plus the sin nature plus volition. That's where they come from. Doctrine offsets all of that. Gives you the option and the means to overcome human viewpoint, to resist the trends of your sin nature, to render human input ineffective. That's the bad stuff. Sixth, doctrine overhauls your thought processes, your thinking. It overhauls it. You've got a way of thinking, and that thinking is all dependent on the input and the sin nature and your volition. And what comes out is your thinking. Doctrine, as it comes in, overhauls that. It changes the way that you think. Seven, but it does not remove the experiences of your life, especially the terrible ones that can haunt you. Eight, the memory and the effects of the past are still operational. This input is still operational. It still has made a deep impression on you. It's still a part of the trends that have developed along with your sin nature. It's all there. And the memory and effects of the past are still operational. That's why you just can't shove them back into a deep, dark corner and pretend they aren't there. They do affect. I don't want you to have any misapprehension about that. Point nine. They can still affect you unless doctrine intervenes and permeates your thinking. That's your salvation. And I don't mean eternal salvation. I mean salvation in your life, your spiritual life, that which changes you. You see, it's like renovating an old house. That's what this, a good example of this is the renovation of an old house. The old house needs some things. It's old. It's antiquated. It needs some walls knocked out. It needs some new flooring. It needs new fixtures, a new bathroom, a new kitchen. It needs some new countertops and new cabinets. Whatever it needs to update it. Now, a lot of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you have gone through the headaches of doing this. The old house represents you and all that you are from the human perspective. All that has contributed to your development during your life, including all the good and the evil human influences, input, and programming. The old house is your old way of thinking, your old way of operating. But then you began the renovation of that house. You put on a new roof. The inside is too dark, so you put some windows in to lighten it up a little bit. You add some crown molding, some new flooring. You repaint, you repair, you put in new fixtures. Maybe you gut the bathroom, whatever. Maybe you put a few columns outside, change the look a little bit. But the old structure of the house, the foundation, the framework, it's all still there. It's all still there. Just like your background is still there, your human viewpoint, your formative experiences, the trends of your sin nature are still there. But the renovated house gives a whole new perspective to the old house. It's a new look. That perspective represents divine viewpoint, a whole new viewpoint in your soul. You are a renovated house with Bible doctrine. Still the same old shell, still the same old foundation, but renovated. You may retain some of that old structure, but it no longer dominates the view of the house. As a believer, you can be renovated. Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world. Conformed is human viewpoint. That which has formed your thinking and actions over the years, the trends of your sin nature. Don't be conformed to that, but be transformed. How? How are you transformed? Here it is. By the renovating of your mind. See, the house is still there, but it's renovated. And then, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. You see, renovating means the old structure is there, still hanging on. That's the sin nature, the trends, the propensities, the darkness, all the input, still there. All that has previously affected and defined you is not erased and it's not removed. It remains intact. How do I know that? How can I prove that? Ah, it's gone. It doesn't bother me at all. Listen to what Paul says in Romans 7:15. For that which I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. That's the Apostle Paul. Where does that doing the very thing that he hates comes from? Where does that come from? Right here. What was Paul before? He has the sin nature and he has a lot of input. That's what he does. The very things that he hates. And then Romans 7:21. I find then the principle that evil is present in me. He has a sin nature. The one who wishes to do good. I wish to do good, but the presence of evil is in me. And what is the formation of the presence of evil? Do I need to remind you? Starts here, continues here. It's volition that sends it out. The thing he hates, the principle of evil is that which he did before. What he did before. His old manner, the old influences are still there, but they don't have to influence. And that's the renovation. That's why Paul happily presented Romans 12:2. He does what he doesn't want to do, and yet the great constant in his life, the wonderful thing that he knows is that he can be renovated. And that's what he passes on to you. So how does renovation in the believer work? How does this happen? First, as doctrine is inculcated, the old ways of thinking fade. They are weakened. They're less apparent. You see, they began to be overwhelmed. They fade, they're weakened, they're less apparent. Where are they less apparent? Doctrine comes in, all the input, soul, sin nature. Where is it apparent? How it comes out. Out here. That's where it's apparent. The old ways, this old way of thinking, this human viewpoint begins to fade. It begins to become less apparent. It becomes weak. And now coming through this whole pipeline comes an entirely different way of thinking. The old stuff is still here. But now there's a different exit. Or at least there's something different coming from the exit. Secondly, doctrine becomes the main influence instead of the human garbage. All that input, all that sin nature, all those trends, all that human viewpoint. Doctrine is the main influence instead of all the human garbage. And you've got plenty of it. We all do. Don't ever look down your nose at somebody because you understand they're human garbage, because you've got a lot of it too. Third, and so human viewpoint becomes less potent in your life. Less potent. And it is potent, by the way. How easy it is to slip back into human viewpoint. It's right there, lurking, waiting, hoping. All I mean is your volition is quite ready to turn back to human viewpoint. It's so much fun. It's what you've liked. It's your pattern in life. Point four, as you mature, divine viewpoint begins to supersede the human viewpoint and the garbage. Supersede. Let me try to illustrate that for you. Here comes the human viewpoint. Out it comes. Doctrine begins to supersede this. Not all at once. It doesn't happen overnight. But before you know it, divine viewpoint is coming out more and more. It's beginning to supersede this other thing. Fifth, that means you fall back on human viewpoint less and less. The old input is beginning to fade. The old abuses, the old problems, all the old things that were evil or even human good. Now you're working off of divine good. You know, you have two options as a believer. You have divine viewpoint and you have human viewpoint, and you're going to fluctuate between the two of them. It's inevitable. But first, another set of points. You know, these points are things to emphasize so that you can go back and look at them and understand exactly what I'm talking about. You won't lose the thought. First, when you continue with doctrine, and this is important, gradually, imperceptibly to you, human viewpoint will be pushed into the background. What a wonderful thought. It doesn't happen overnight. It's not, I just went to 5 Bible classes, I got some doctrine, and human viewpoints gone. Good luck. I've been here 20 years listening to doctrine. Human viewpoint now is all wiped out. Good luck. Don't ever think that, because it's there. It's definitely there. When you continue with doctrine, gradually, imperceptibly to you, human viewpoint will be pushed into the background. Secondly, your human propensities and trends. I hope you know what that is now. It comes from the input, from the sin nature. Your human propensities and trends learned and experienced over so many years. It's imprinted. Will be renovated to a new way of thinking and hence behavior. Thought precedes actions. It's the thought that's renovated. Actions follow. Human propensities and trends learned and experienced will be renovated. Third, but it always requires the inculcation of doctrine so that your thinking can be renovated. You've got 2 choices. Renovate the thinking or live off of human viewpoint. And as a believer, living off of human viewpoint is a disaster. And let me tell you, if you want to live off of human viewpoint, the only difference between you and an unbeliever is that God will discipline you, and you don't want that. You can induce your own misery, but let me tell you, in order to correct the situation, God will also discipline you. And He knows how to do it. Fourth, how is this renovation manifested? In your application. Doctrine comes in. It's metabolized. Out goes something. This is the application from doctrine and its divine viewpoint. That's how it's manifested. It doesn't just roll around in here. It comes out in the form of your thinking. Fifth, and the application, that application supersedes the human influences of a lifetime. It supersedes those human influences. What a wonderful thing this is. I hope you understand this. You know, some of you may have been sitting there just waiting for doctrine to wipe out the old you. I'll never have those kinds of temptations or troubles or problems again. Wrong. You will have those propensities all of your life. All of the formative aspects are there. Your sin nature is never going to go. The trends are your trends for life. What does doctrine do? With positive volition to doctrine, it suppresses that. It flows around it. It inundates it. It pushes it back. It's like this. Here's human viewpoint. Here's divine viewpoint. It starts back here, divine viewpoint, and it steadily progresses. And as it progresses, the other falls back. And so what comes out? Divine viewpoint. It's still here, and it can still move ahead. But if you keep inculcating doctrine, the human viewpoint, or the divine viewpoint, is what is supersedes. Now, don't be discouraged. It's easy to get discouraged on this because you still lapse into things that, as Paul said, are hateful and destructive to yourself. And it does happen. And when you fall back into that human viewpoint and you make bad decisions, please don't say doctrine doesn't work. Oh, wait a minute. I thought doctrine was supposed to suppress all this. You are the one who fails, not doctrine. That's like saying, I don't have any volition. I don't make bad decisions. Doctrine just does it all. No, you still have to make decisions. And you still have choices. and you still have trends. When you're out of fellowship and without doctrinal application, all that's left are the old influences and trends that have now reasserted themselves in your life. And that's the beginning of reversionism, or at least a run of carnality. And what happens then? You step back. The old human viewpoint starts to gain. But renovating brings a new and different way of thinking from all that human viewpoint, that previous human input that dominated your soul. It does, and it did. Renovating, in simply put terms, is the spiritual maturing process. And as divine viewpoint pushes to the forefront, it reflects your spiritual maturity, or rather vice versa. Your spiritual maturity reflects divine viewpoint being pressed toward the front. But again, let me remind you, the renovation is gradual. It requires longer and longer periods of being in fellowship, controlled by the Holy Spirit. And it requires consistency and unbroken momentum in metabolizing doctrine. You know, the great thing is, as long as you are here, as long as doctrine is penetrating your thick skull, as long as you recognize where the solutions are, no matter what situation you find yourself in, no matter how badly you fail, no matter how much you recognize, say for instance, in your social relationships, which we have covered earlier, and personal relationships, no matter how askew they get, and how many bad decisions you make, and how all that input affects you, you're here. And you have the option and the opportunity to suppress all of that and think with divine viewpoint. And as divine viewpoint increases in your soul, it supersedes and suppresses the propensities and trends, those sinful urges, the failings and the flaws that you have, and the human viewpoint, which would define you otherwise. They are never purged from your subconscious. They're there. That's particularly true of those who have been terribly abused earlier in life. That's there. That's in the subconscious. It doesn't leave. But with doctrine, you develop and use the alternative from your stream of consciousness. Even that can gradually be suppressed, such that it no longer affects you, and it can affect you in terrible ways. All of that input can. The more you learn and the more that you apply, the greater your ability to resist the old input and trends. It's that simple. And the more you are able to choose for the spiritual option that you have, God's plan as found in doctrine. You see, this is developing a conscience filled with doctrine. If you have a conscience, and here's the soul, if you have volition, you have conscience, you have self-consciousness, and you have mentality, what does doctrine do? It gives you norms and standards in your conscience. Now you have something to make a decision with. You have these norms and standards, and you have the old norms and standards of the input. And so volition makes a decision between this or the new norms and standards in your conscience. And what comes out with these norms and standards when volition makes a positive decision? Divine viewpoint. This stuff is here, and this old volition can say no to the conscience, even though you have the norms and standards there. Hey, I used to enjoy this. I think I'll go back for a while. Well, fine. It's okay. But you take the spiritual steps backwards. You have curbed your spiritual advance. You have put yourself right back into the same misery that brought you here in the first place to get rid of that stuff. There you are. You have developed a conscience, and when you do, as you develop this conscience, as you make good decisions based on the doctrine of the norms and standards in your conscience, then the old excuses, the old explanations, the old rationalizations, the old relativism that was part of you, and the old defensiveness and defense mechanisms that defined you, all the garbage from the abuses that numbed your conscience before, they are overruled and they lose their hold. They do not govern your thinking and your behavior. The old ways exist. They're still there. But they're in the background. They're pushed back. They're there, but they're pushed back. You don't cancel the old thinking and trends, but you don't fall for them anymore either. There's your volition. You are no longer, and this is an interesting thing. I want you to understand this. You are no longer, when you began to take in doctrine and fill your conscience with the norms and standards of doctrine and begin to make decisions, when you were resisting the old sin nature before, it was just an act of will. I will not do that. I know that's wrong. I'm not going to do that. And so it's, I won't do it. But as doctrine begins to inundate your soul, your divine viewpoint is the active resistance, not just your will. The divine viewpoint, that means I don't want to do it. See the difference? I won't do it. That's ineffective. No, I don't want to do it. I realized what that was, and it's much more effective. Your conscience has developed the absolute standards of doctrine, and they are controlling and inundating and suppressing and pushing into the background. And one day you wake up. It's interesting. You operate that way, and that's spiritual maturity. Now you're understanding what spiritual maturity is. Now you are clinging to doctrine as your life rather than deferring to past influences. You now realize the differences between a life of human frustration and emptiness, and it's there. It's right there with the old inputs. And a life that is wonderful beyond description and glorifying to God, which is your purpose. Your purpose is not to live in the old garbage. Your purpose is not to live with all this. It's there. Your purpose is to live with divine viewpoint. And it's wonderful beyond description. One day you wake up to it. You know, there's going to be times as human beings when you fall off the wagon and the old trends reassert themselves. As you mature, that's going to happen. They're going to come back every once in a while because they're still there. But please don't get discouraged because you do the very thing you hate. Don't do that. Rebound and continue the process. Never stop advancing. Never falter in metabolizing that which accomplishes the renovation of your thinking. So if you do falter there, guess what takes over? The old stuff. And one day, this is wonderful, one day you will wake up and you'll no longer want to go back to the old human viewpoint destructive ways. You have seen the difference. And it makes a difference. You have appropriated in the spiritual advance an entirely different existence, a mature spiritual life. You know, it's like being a runner. We just had the runners out here. When those people started running way back whenever it began, they'd put their running shoes on and whatever else they ran in, and they'd start pounding the pavement, and they hated it. Every step was a painful experience. I'll run 2 miles today. Now I think I'll just run one. And I'll run three today, and I'm only going to run two. Where are those people now who are running 26 miles? They're on a runner's high. Now they wouldn't want to do anything else. Now they understand what it's all about. Why did they pound the pavement for so long? Why did they go through that pain? Because now they see the results. One day you will wake up and see the results. You'll have that spiritual high. I better not say that. But you will see the difference, and you will not want to go back. You have a new divine viewpoint existence. Now, I want you to understand one thing too. Depending on the depth of the human viewpoint thinking that is resident in your soul and the extent of the corruption, the abuse, all of those things that are corrupt, the maturity process can take a longer or a shorter time. Each one of you are going to have a different time frame. But it's going to happen. Just stay positive and consistent. As long as you are inculcating doctrine, there is hope, because you are in the process of renovation. You know what a house looks like when you don't get it fully renovated and you walk away from it? It looks worse than it did when it started, when you started with the old thing. Remember that. You get halfway through the renovation and quit. You've got a really lousy house. Doesn't matter how dark was your past. It's how bright is your future with doctrine. Remember that. I don't care how bad it is in the past. What's bright is your future with doctrine. The old human viewpoint thought processes are pushed to the back, and your new divine viewpoint thought processes become the controlling factor of your life. Now, you've got the greatest life that there is. And that's the wonder of Bible doctrine. Some of you think this is just information. Some of you think, I need to yawn a little bit and, this is kind of interesting. Bible doctrine is wonderful. It is the very words of God. And when you take it in, and when it pushes that human viewpoint into the background, there is no guilt or residual garbage from what came before. And there's no desire to return to the past ways of thinking and operating. All you have then is the excitement and the encouragement and the magnificent perspective and the radiance of your soul as you live the spiritual life. No longer are you dark and detached. You see, the light of the world is upon you, the mind of Christ. You are a workman approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's your objective. And now you understand who you are, where you've come from, and what you have to do. And you know, it's really simple. Stay filled with the Holy Spirit. Continue to rebound. Gradually, you become more and more in fellowship. And continue to take in the Word. And the rest of it won't go away. But it will become less and less important. It will become less and less what you want to be. It will become less and less the great temptation that it's always been. And more importantly, divine viewpoint defines your thinking and your way of life. And there is no greater way of life. And I'm talking about happiness, contentment. Do you think you have happiness in what you do now? You think your happiness resides in your social life? You think a little of this and a little of that in the human viewpoint realm doesn't hurt you too much? When you realize what divine viewpoint does for you, you just won't believe that you ever resided in that old mess. It's great. I hope you experience the runner's high. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have provided for us so much wonderful doctrine. We thank you that you have provided for us that which we cannot provide for ourselves. We can strive, we can have great willpower, we can do what we think we ought to do, we can be moral or not. And yet you have provided a way of power and of strength and of sound mind so that we might forge ahead and become what you would have us be and live the greatest life imaginable. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.